Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
One thing that concerns me about him, especially if you're talking about starting off your NBA career, it's being able to stand up to the physicality of the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
Keep saying in that summer league, I wanted to see him attack the boards a little bit more than what he did. That's a little bit of a sign of physicality for me. Mm-hmm. And he didn't. He was a little soft around the boards. So that might be the one thing that holds him back from being able to play consistently right away.
Let's get Lazy in here. Elk Grove Kia Talk Line, 916-909-1320. What's up, Lazy?
Yo, yo, D-Lo, Casey, Joe, my three brothers. What's popping with y'all today?
What's up, Lazy? Man?
Hey, what's up, guys? Hey, so two things. First, I want to say, Joe, you got to let me cook.
I got you.
And two, D-Lo, you guys are talking about the Kings and 76ers and the process and all that. Hey, I just want to throw a disclaimer. I'm not in the tank crowd. I know tanking don't work. But here's the thing, D-Lo, I'm being a 76ers apologist. Hey, during the process, since they got Joel Embiid, they've been to the playoffs seven times. They've had three All-Stars. And even if people say, hey, the process don't work and all this and that, they still got Jared McCain, who was almost Rookie of the Year. VJ Edcombe, or whatever his name is. And so they still got some pieces going forward. So,
No, that's fine.
I don't think the 76ers are in a bad place.
No, well, we can argue what type of place they're in when they're paying Joel Embiid $69 million in three years. But let me ask you this, Lazy. Yep. One, you're obviously aware they haven't won any championships, which is fine. Yep. There's a lot of organizations that haven't. But you do realize, in terms of their success, they were successful before they started tanking. They were a playoff team. They were a playoff team the year before they shut things down.
They reached the same heights. Yeah,
the same exact heights.
Who was their best player? What, Evan Turner? Like, I don't remember that team.
I don't think that really matters. They reached the same exact heights. Like, they were getting to the second round
of the playoffs.
Yeah, they lost the game seven in Boston with maybe Evan Turner and Iggy, Andre Iguodala. Like, they got to the same place. That's all we're saying.
Yeah, no, I agree. I agree that they have not been as successful as they could be. But I'm just saying they still got an MVP player. We all know Joel hasn't stayed healthy, but when he is one, it's great. I'm just saying the Kings so far haven't had those types of players where we even had that type of potential yet. And even I'm saying the new guys they have too is Jared McCain. Like, I wish we had Jared McCain, you know? I wish we had those types of players.
Yeah, they could have drafted Jared McCain with their pick.
Yeah.
Like, they didn't have to take. We appreciate you, Lazy. We appreciate you, Lazy. They could have drafted Jared McCain. They chose not to. That's not about tanking. Hell, a good Philadelphia 76ers team drafted that. You can't. You could get what is that dude's name who was behind? What's that guy's name? The GM who was behind Hinkie? Sam Hinkie?
Yeah.
You could sit him in front of me for 2 hours, and I'd look him dead in his face and say it didn't work. You could explain it to me. You could, draft picks and salary, and you could use all this nerd talk you want to. It didn't work. That idea does not work. It doesn't. No other professional sport utilizes this idea except professional basketball. And there are teams that have perhaps lost more games at the end of a season with hopes of increasing their odds at landing a top pick. Dallas didn't. Dallas beat your favorite basketball team in a play-in game on their home floor. and still landed with the number one. Got their ass beat in the second one and still landed with the number one overall pick. It's not, someone said earlier, so you're saying it's luck. Yeah, man.
A lot of it is luck.
There is a lot of luck involved in all of this.
I'll ask another question. Since I don't agree with this. I don't agree with this, but some people might after you hear the breakdown and after I ask the question, some people might. Since, let's just go DeMarcus Cousins. Who's the best player the Kings have drafted?
Since DeMarcus Cousins, mm-hmm. De'Aaron Fox.
That's probably what I would say, but what do you think other people might say?
Oh, you know what I'm going to say, right?
Tyrese Halliburton.
Yeah.
Was he a top five pick? Was he a tanking type pick?
No.
He's like 11 or 12. That's the best player you've drafted, according to some people. Mm-hmm. I agree with you. I think it's De'Aaron Fox.
No, I mean, Tyrese is up there. Like,
yeah, it's arguable. But that's the guy. And he was 11 or 12.
Mm-hmm.
How many top five picks have they had in that time? Off the top of my head, at least three. Marvin, Fox, and Keegan.
Keegan was four, yep.
You've had top five picks there, and it's resulted in nothing.
And you could make an argument that none of them are better than Tyrese.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. I think the De'Aaron argument is tough, but you could.
Yeah, and just to your point, like, there's a little bit of luck involved. Like, Tyrese, he didn't have – people weren't – when he went into the draft, people weren't saying he's going to be the biggest all-star, the next big thing, lead a team. Like, no, that wasn't there. Mm-hmm. It's a big luck thing.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And I'll even say – I'll stall him out a little bit – I think there's luck involved in a bad way with Marvin Bagley and his injury history. I think if Marvin Bagley is durable, at least you're talking about a starting or a rotational bit, like Brandon Clark at the worst case scenario. And Brandon Clark is like somebody that is valuable to Memphis.
But the problem is it's not always where you're drafted. It's who's drafted around
mm-hmm.
you.
Mm-hmm.
And Luka was in that draft, but so was Jaren Jackson Jr.
Mm-hmm.
Trey was in that draft.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's good. I know people hate him. I think DeAndre Ayton's a good basketball player. Like, and DeAndre Ayton might actually be the comp for Marvin Bagley if Marvin Bagley was healthy.
If he could stay healthy, he'd probably have that be type of career.
Like, yeah, which is fine, mm-hmm. but it's not. Like, DeAndre Ayton, I think, is judged more because he was a number one overall pick. I think people think the way that they do about DeAndre Ayton because he was a number one overall pick. If DeAndre Ayton was drafted 17th mm-hmm. And had played for, Portland, Phoenix, the different teams that he's with now, L.A., whatever. Just mm-hmm. another player on the move. And, it's a good addition by the Lakers.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, what a that guy. Could have had Luka. Could have had Trey. Like, they don't catch the same exact smoke that Sacramento catches, but yeah, they miss too.
Yep.
Their player's not there anymore. Yep. I guess Luka's. I guess Trey and Jaren Jackson win. I guess Memphis and Atlanta win because the guys that they drafted are still there.
Right.
We'll check in with Atlanta later, but
yeah. But to your point, Scooter in the chat, but they picked Bagley over Luka once again. Make the right decisions.
Mm-hmm.
That's what matters first and foremost. Not how many wins you had the year before, not necessarily where your draft position is. Make the right decisions, whether that's in the draft, whether that's in free agency, and whether that's in trades, and the people that you decide to move on for and from, and the people that you decide to acquire in those type of trades. You have to make the right decisions. And once again, if you think tanking is the way to go, I'm not here to tell you you're wrong. I'm here to tell you that you just got to get it right. That's not the only way.
Mm-hmm.
No matter where you're at, no matter where you're picking or anything else like that, you have to get it right. And my mentality with that is why I'm not tripping off 41 wins in a first-round playoff exit. I will enjoy that. And I will go into the next offseason and I will say, all right, Scott, make all the right decisions. Simple as that. I won't be mad because they have the 16th pick. You got the 16th pick. All right,
mm-hmm.
let's find you one.
Mm-hmm. We were talking about the 76ers earlier, and this has nothing to do with the process, but few people have spoken in a way that will convince me to buy their book like Allen Iverson has. Allen Iverson is making the rounds promoting his new book, Misunderstood, wearing a bad black Gucci suit. But my goodness, I want to read this book.
Yeah.
Or listen to it. I'm an Audible book guy. Like, I want to listen to this book.
That's my guy. Anything he put out, I'm tapped in. I think he's got a doc coming out later this month, too.
He does. Hulu? I think it's Hulu, yeah. Oh, well, you see Hulu wanted out of a certain documentary?
Oh, man. It just keeps getting worse for good old Ben.
Oh, it literally keeps getting worse. We'll talk about that. I do want to touch on some baseball stuff. Obviously, we got a game on right now. Aaron Judge had himself a little
All right.
We got Jake Gaydon coming up at 1:47. James Hamm, the final of the show. Kings basketball. We got power rankings, and there's going to be some controversy.
Oh.
But I can explain.
Yeah, you got some explaining to do.
I promise.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
I can explain.
I think I know what you're talking about, too.
I know you do.
Got some explaining to
do. So you're going to have to go first. It's D'Lo and KC on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.
D'Lo and KC on the home for Sacramento Sports Talk, ESPN 1320.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Keep thinking back to, oh, yeah, no, that game was in L.A. Yeah. Despite the videos and noise that we heard, that was Los Angeles.
Our guy Jay Stahl was at the game. He Rams fan.
Oh, word.
He tried to say it's being overblown.
Okay,
bro. I was like, what, you think all this is Photoshop? Yes. What are you talking?
Well, like I said, I saw Tupac in a Warriors game, so maybe Bonte Hill AI'd all of those 49er fans making that noise in SoFi Stadium. Maybe that's what happened. Let's get to the Elk Grove Kia talk line here, 916-909-1320. TC, what's good?
Yes, sir. What's up with my two brothers?
What's up, TC?
TC almost sound happy today.
I know, man.
Hey, look, hey, you know, I'm happy every day, bro. You know, it's just the things that we talk about, man. It's, you know, it sound like I'm down, man, but I'm never down, man. I'm always up with the homies, man.
Okay.
What's up? That's what's up.
Hey, listen, so check it out. You know, it's the Kings Day. I'm fired up. I'm ready to see the boys. I don't know if it's up to y'all. I'm ready to see the boys for three quarters, at least a half, at least.
Oh, sweetie, I don't think that's happening.
You don't think they're playing a half?
You know what?
A half? I don't think they're playing three quarters.
No, I don't think
I'd be surprised if they played a half.
Okay, I get it. I just, you know, the togetherness, you know, and getting the boys on the court. And, Kenny, I'm leaning towards you. I'm with you, too. I was saying that. If it was a 40-plus win team and we went to the first round and got knocked out, I'm taking that as a successful season. I'm not looking down at Doug, the team, or nothing. And if we get the 16th pick, the 20th pick, I trust Scott Perry and B.J. Armstrong, bro, right now to make that draft pick. But that's a successful season, Kings fans, bro. We kind of like – we got to quit, like, overlooking, thinking that, like, we finna go to the finals, and if it's not, it's a bust. Bro, we taking steps, and Doug is trying to get this team together. And that's where we at right now, Kings fans. We got to understand that.
Okay. To be fair, TC, to Kings fans, I haven't heard a single one say, if we don't go to the finals, it's a bust. now, maybe TC's circle is a little bit different. But as someone who spends – you know, 4 hours a day with Kings fans, I haven't seen that.
I haven't.
I haven't seen that.
Shout out TC, man. That's my boy. Always. I do. It's not the biggest deal in the world, but I think they're going to play a half today. I think you're going to see a substitution rotation, right? So, like, the starters play, you get the subs in, and then I think the starters will go back in for another 6 to 7 minute spell. That will be in the second quarter sometime.
Okay. Okay.
Well.
Okay, I'm with you.
Doug was talking,
I can see that.
You know, I think we played it yesterday. He was like, just the importance of the preseason.
Yeah.
I think he'll look at least in this game, is like, let's try to establish a rotation or how we want to set the tone for how we want to play offensively and defensively.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, you're right. We'll get some run there in the second quarter.
Sorry, I got sidetracked. Look at what just happened in this Tigers Mariners game. Unless he thought the ball was caught, ball gets hit to first. Runner on first base for the Tigers.
My Mariners are up 2-0.
They are. They looking tough. Ball gets hit to first base with a runner on first. The guy on first decides not to run. Yeah, that's clearly on the ground. You have to go, buddy. Oh. He tries to go back to first. He's out, and the runner on first is out. Double play.
Yeah, that's tough. You
got to at least force a tag or force a throw to second.
Do you? I'm assuming, did he think the ball was in the air?
That's the only thing I could think of.
He thinks he caught it. Yeah, he thinks he caught
it. It was on the ground pretty early, though.
Yeah, no.
No, it wasn't early. I mean, he could have been blocked, though.
Yeah, from his angle.
I'm not trying to stall him out. It was such a – that was kind of a bizarre play that you don't see very often. He might have – I think he held up because he thought the ball was in the air. And whether, like here it is. Nope, that's not it. Okay.
Well, see, he saw it, and then he got – you'll see, like, he sees it,
so
and
I
then
think
he just retreats back.
So my guess is my man knew he was cooked. There was nowhere for him to go.
It's a split-second decision, split-second, like, process. But, like, once you knew you were cooked, at least try to go. You got to at least force him to tag you away from the bag or force the throw to second.
Mm. Yeah, you can –
you can't go back to first base, though.
You get to set your baseline. So if you're the runner, he could technically run sideways. He's allowed to do that.
Well.
Okay, well, he didn't run sideways.
He did not.
He just went back to the
– Detroit Tiger player. Get ready to learn Chinese, buddy.
Oh, man, that's not fair.
It's him and the whole team, though. this one looking like it's over.
Well, it's Mariners. Only 2-0.
No, it's the momentum. Mariners look locked in right now.
Yeah, they do. They do. My Mariners, that is.
Your Mariners.
They looked great since
look
I
at them. Look at them. What are you doing?
That's tough.
If I was a Tiger fan, I'd be incensed.
We joked a second ago about the Allen Iverson. I think he's got a series coming up on Hulu. And Hulu needs the sports series because apparently they dumped the Bill Belichick one. Or maybe Hulu didn't dump it. Maybe Bill Belichick dumped the Bill Belichick Carolina Hulu doc. But whatever, there is no documentary. There is no Hard Knocks. There is nothing chronicling Bill Belichick's disastrous first year as the head coach of North Carolina football.
Did you
see the 33rd NFL team as their people referred to them as?
Did you see? Oh man, I'm gonna try and find this, and maybe you did. Just in case you didn't, I'm not gonna say what the clip was because I just want to see if maybe what your general reaction is. But they broadcast the game on ESPN. It was UNC versus Clemson on Saturday, and did you see like ESPN going to commercial break, talk to a student about Bill Belichick being there and like just the excitement or lack thereof. Did you see that?
I don't think I did.
Okay. I tagged you. If you can, pull it up.
Okay.
And just play. I thought this was hilarious. It was hilarious because they actually broadcast this. You didn't have to broadcast this, but everything. I don't want to oversell this, but I got a nice little chuckle out of this moment on the broadcast of Clemson, North Carolina, as I think at the time Clemson was beating the crap out of UNC in the second quarter.
Okay.
And they talked to a student at UNC.
All right, here we go. It's not going well for,
no.
for those who are
early in the second
early
quarter.
Early in the second.
It's 28.
Very. And when Kenny says early, there's 12:50 left in the second quarter.
It's 28-3 Clemson.
Clemson,
and they're
making
going to break.
TCU was, I went to that game, and that was one of the saddest feelings I've had in university so far, and I've failed midterms before, so that's something.
Clemson making moves.
Why did they hear that? Oh, they must hate Bill Belichick. That is, this girl said, I failed midterms before.
He said it's one of the saddest moments I've ever felt.
That is absolutely hilarious.
Bill, but why did they air that? Why did they?
Well, maybe they hate Bill Belichick. Bill Belichick out here destroying these kids' college life. Like, man, I.
Oh, man. Damn. And now he ain't got the Hulu doc.
She said, I failed midterms.
And it almost didn't compare to going to that TCU game.
No, it's sad.
I think.
Well, at least it won't be chronicled by Hulu.
Well, I want to see at least one of those episodes. Because I think in that game against Clemson, I think they were leaving in the second quarter.
Yeah, it was 28-3 with 12 minutes left. I would have just gone back to the tailgate I left. Like, why come in here and watch this sorry-ass game for?
Back to the tailgate.
I'm gonna give me
and
some,
watch the rest of college football.
I'm go get some carne asada and some burgers, hamburgers. I'm going to go do anything except watch this crap.
Yeah, man, it's going bad for Bill. It's going bad for him.
You want to say sorry to Aaron Judge? We don't need to say sorry to Bill Belichick.
Who?
You.
I ain't saying nothing bad about Aaron Judge.
Well, you kind of make some underhanded jokes about how he's not exactly performing
that's
in the playoffs.
Number one, that's Jesse. And number two.
You haven't co-signed any of them?
But I say it in a somber tone.
Oh, okay.
I say it in a somber tone. Okay. Like, come on, Aaron.
Okay, got you.
Oh, man. But that was a nice little moment last night.
Oh, that was a hell of a moment.
That was a nice little moment last night.
That the pop.
Yeah.
And then the delay because you didn't know where the ball was going to go.
Yeah.
Oh, that was theater.
Yeah,
that was masterful.
Fantastic. And then, all right, Aaron Judge hits the home run, hits the foul pole, and then turns to the bench. I'm here. This is it. All right,
okay.
Get around the bench.
Yeah, okay. Also, what was it like the fourth inning? The game's tied. Like, settle down.
Just get around the base, sir. Okay. We've seen your whole playoff performance.
Yeah, like, okay, you didn't get eliminated today. Just go. Well, and to be fair, he had a hell of a game yesterday.
He did. What was he, 3 for 4?
4,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Couple runs scored, maybe 3 runs scored, I think. They look DOA.
Yes, they all came on that one hit, but still, 3 runs fine.
They look DOA, the Yankees did. It was 6-1, Blue Jays.
Yeah. Yeah,
and Vlad Guerrero Jr. had another home run, was sending these guys to the offseason, and they found a way to bounce back, and now we got some theater. We got some theater because if I'm the Yankees, don't let us win this one. Don't let us win this one. I don't care if we got to go back to Toronto. Don't let us win this one. No, I said if I'm the Yankees. The Yankees aren't us. Mm-hmm. The Yankees aren't us. Not for me.
Yankee
not for
supporter.
Me. I'm a supporter. That's all it is.
Of course.
But if I'm the Yankees, if I'm, what's the name, Nick Turturro? Is that who the big Yankee fan is?
The actor?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's like huge on Twitter with his Yankee reactions.
Okay.
Like he's.
I think Nick Turturro was the NYPD
I
blue
think
guy?
Yeah. Yeah. That okay. Like that's. He's probably now more famous for his Yankee reactions.
I think Nick Turturro was at WrestleMania 10.
I think he, no, 11.
Oh, was it 11?
Yeah,
oh,
yeah, yeah, that's 11. Right. Yeah. That's right. That's right.
Yeah, that's your era right there. That WrestleMania 11 in Hartford, Connecticut. Yeah, that's Casey's era for sure. Is that NYPD
yeah,
Blue?
Yeah, yeah, he was part of that one. That's right. Yep. That's right.
Yep.
But yeah, if I'm Nick Turturro,
he was also a Boston cop in Malcolm X. Oh, he's done some Spike Lee movies.
Yeah, I think he is a Spike Lee
guy.
He's
in Mo' Better Blues, yeah. Jungle Fever.
Yeah.
Malcolm X.
Sounds about
oh,
right.
I absolutely remember. He's in Do the Right Thing.
Yep.
I remember him in The Longest Yard. Oh, yeah. He is a spy. Oh, he's in Paul Blart Mall Cop 2 also.
Two? What?
Apparently, what? He's a big Kevin James guy, too, because he's in a movie called Here Comes the Boom, starring Kevin James.
Oh, my God. I'm still tripping off Paul
Blart.
Blart.
Mall Cop 2.
I had no idea. Jeez.
Interesting career Nicholas Totoro has had.
I want to take it back.
Totoro is an avid New York Yankees fan and is known for his passionate videos on social media.
Yeah, he be going, like, we can't even play some of the videos.
I believe it.
He be going off. He be going off on the Yankees. But if I'm him, I'm saying, don't let us get this one. Don't let us get this one. So we'll see what
I'm glad I saw that because I had that game on the kitchen TV and was ready to, like, yeah, I don't need to watch this anymore.
I turned it. I had it on. I was doing some stuff at my desk, and it was 6-1. I turned it. I had to go to the store real quick, and I think they got to 6-3, but they got out that inning. They got to 6-3. Like, they ended the inning, and I was like, it's probably done. Like, I'll watch it when I come back, and I maybe 20 minutes into my time outside the house, I turned on the radio, and they said 6-6, and then I was listening on the radio, and the guy was like, after Aaron Judge ties it up. I said, oh, no, let me go to Twitter. I got to go see this. I got to see what this looks like.
Mm-hmm.
And it was movie status.
Nah, it was. I was the opposite. I saw 6-1. I didn't see 6-3. I had walked away and got back to the kitchen and literally stood there and looked at the TV and was like, as soon as this inning ends, I'm out.
He said he was out.
Like, I'll put the iPad up and just have it.
Yeah.
And then he hit that home run. I was like, oh.
That was a moment.
Oh.
Yeah.
All right. I'm in.
It would be.
Don't lose this.
Whoever the.
Don't lose this game after hitting that home run.
Whoever the umpire is, they need to know it's best for business if the Yankees pitcher has a wide strike zone today. It's best for business. Give him that Levon Hernandez with the Marlins strike zone.
Listen to you. I'm sure someone said game 6, like, no, it'd be great for the Lakers to get to the foul line a bunch in the fourth quarter. Oh, but it's okay. You know, this is the type of stuff that Kenny's rooting on. Wow. Where were you? Where were you in 2001, by the way?
I was with the Kings.
No evidence of that.
I should have been at McClatchy High School where they were showing the game. They were showing it in McClatchy. But yeah, today is the last day of the year. There will be 4 baseball games on. And they could be winner. That could be clinchers. So there's actually 2 things with today's date.
This is best of 5. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Today is the last day. For 4 baseball games on.
Okay.
There will never for the rest of the year. There won't be more than 3 baseball games on all year. And today, I forgot the matchup. I thought I had it here saved, but today. Marks, there it is, with Missouri State playing at Middle Tennessee today on ESPN2 and Liberty playing UTEP. It's the start of 49 consecutive days of football.
Mm. Okay.
So do we even have 49? Yeah, we got more than 49 days left in the year, but it'll be pretty close to the end of the year. Every day is going to have a football game on.
Okay. Well, I'm not tapping into either one of those. So you
Liberty and UTEP, you ain't tapping into that.
No.
You ain't sports, bro.
There's 4 baseball games, 4 playoff baseball games, 1 WNBA finals game.
That's facts.
And a Sacramento Kings game.
Bro.
You can let me know how the Liberty UTEP game goes.
You throw the records out the window.
We'll cover it tomorrow during the 13th round when I'm going to get my green juice.
Yeah, man. That last baseball game probably gonna be trash, bro. It's probably gonna be trash.
What's the 4th game?
It's Dodgers Phillies. I'm sorry, Phillies ain't doing nothing.
I don't know why I asked. That's my bad.
Phillies ain't doing nothing. Get the brooms out for these bums and get them out the way so the Brew Crew can really get in there and try and take care of business.
Jake Gaden's going to join us. Well, I'm sure he'll be excited to talk about the Yankees game last night. Jake Gaden will be with us coming up at 1:47, as that was just a polite reminder to me that Jesse's not here, and I need to send him the link so he can join the show in 10 minutes. You want to do, because obviously we got a lot of Kings basketball to talk about. I do. So I got a follow-up on the Giannis Antetokounmpo conversation.
Oh.
And I don't know how, but it's gone from bad to worse. In fact, no, I do know how. It has gone from bad to worse, and we'll share that with you. But before we do, obviously, new week in the NFL gets underway tomorrow. I'm going to do a couple of overreactions here.
Sure. Absolutely.
Let's start with one that's going to sting you a little bit, and we do have power rankings coming up later. James Hamm will be with us ahead of tonight's game. The Baltimore Ravens season is over.
That is not an overreaction.
That's sad, man.
Yeah.
That's tough. They stink. Their defense is flirting with historically bad.
If they were healthy, I might hold on for one more week. But they're, I don't even know what that the defense is looking like as far as the guys that didn't play last week coming back. Roquan Smith was out.
Mm-hmm.
Marlon Humphreys was out. Hamilton was out. I don't know if those guys are coming back. They were already a suspect defense at that time. But you lose your best players on the defensive end? Yeah, I don't know, bro. I don't think it's going to happen for my Ravens.
What about this? I don't
And either. Lamar, obviously. Like, that's well, D1.
Yeah, I mean.
He's not on defense, but Dale basically is. him having the ball is a form of defense.
It absolutely right now, him having the ball is their best form of defense, and perhaps the worst thing about that is he can't have the ball right now. This I don't know where this one's gonna go. I'm curious the chat's response as well. Oh, shout out Cheryl in Baltimore. She's a fan. She says
they're back this week.
Back this week. Let's go.
Well, I hope they are. They play the Rams.
Oh,
go get them.
Cheryl, I love you. Good luck with that. Pete Carroll will be gone at the end of the season.
That's an overreaction. The only reason I say that is I do not believe Mark Davis will go Jed York and fire two coaches after only having them there for 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
Jed did it with Tom Sula and Chip Kelly.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's where Mark will.
It feels like an eternity to go, ago. Chip was before Kyle.
Mm-hmm.
Like the one right before Kyle.
Yep, yep.
So let me ask you. He did it, but he got it right.
Yeah.
No chance Mark Davis does that?
The only reason it gives me pause is maybe Tom gets in his ear and says, this isn't going to work.
Mm.
And so, Tom, he can respect Tom to a level and say, all right, I'm going to listen to you.
Am I wrong? Oh, man. They didn't hire Spytek second, right? That's so funny that that's his name. Every time I say it, I feel like I'm saying it wrong.
I think he was hired first.
He was hired first.
I think so.
All right. I mean, that's a good point that I hadn't thought about. Ultimately, Tom Brady will probably have a strong.
I think he'll be, no disrespect to Spytek, but I think Tom Brady will be the decision maker.
Yeah, I mean, that's not, yeah. I think you're correct in that.
Yeah, he calls the plays.
I don't, well, that's what I've heard. that's Kyle's bit. I can't steal it. I don't think it's an overreaction, but you could convince me I'm wrong. I just don't know where you're going. I don't know where you're going if you're the Raiders. How about this? The AFC South is getting two playoff teams.
That is not an overreaction.
Yeah, it's not at all an overreaction.
Yeah, I think the Colts and the Jags are going to make them playoffs. They might mess around and get three.
And a reminder, we got power rankings later, and there's some controversy.
Well, just, yeah. Yeah, I'm going to need you to answer this. I can explain it. I'm going to need you to answer this. And mind you, I'm not happy about it.
Oh, I know you're not.
I almost
I'm actually pissed.
So,
off.
So to be clear, I changed one of the teams three different times, and then finally took one of the teams out and put a question mark, and then decided no, my gut was right, and I was deciding between the Colts, the Jaguars, and the 49ers. We'll talk about
the
it.
The disrespect.
We'll talk about it.
The absolute disrespect.
Baker Mayfield will be in the MVP mix at the end of this season.
Not an overreaction. I think he will.
10 touchdowns, one interception so far. His team is playing fantastic. They win basketball games at a stunning rate when he doesn't turn the ball over.
Mm-hmm.
That was the case last year. He went through a stretch where I think he turned the ball over multiple times a game for like three straight games. Mm-hmm. And that was this big, like his biggest chunk of like interceptions that happened during the season. When he doesn't turn the ball over, the Bucks win, and he is not turning the ball over, and the Bucks are winning. And the guys, Burrow's out. Josh Allen certainly isn't. And I don't think Patrick Mahomes is in this conversation for the first time in maybe 4 years. Lamar Jackson isn't going to be in the conversation, or it doesn't appear he's going to be in the conversation. So we're talking the likes of Baker Mayfield and
absolutely.
How about this one? The New England Patriots are going to make the playoffs
today. Today, that's an overreaction, but I see the vision. I see the schedule as well.
Yeah.
In the way that they play, I think it can happen. I'm gonna wait another week though. I'm gonna wait another week. I'm gonna say right now it's an overreaction.
Okay.
But I got one for you. My bad that I didn't put in there.
I think it's an overreaction. I can't quite pinpoint what they are yet. But
I think they're tough, they're well coached.
They're playing for Mike Vrabel, that's for sure.
Yeah, and Drake May.
And Drake May might be good.
Might be pretty good.
Drake May might be good.
This is my bad. No, I got one that I didn't put in here.
Okay.
Overreaction, yes or no? Jonathan Gannon will be fired at the end of the season.
No, I don't think that's an overreaction.
I don't think that's cooked.
An overreaction. I think when you lose games the way that they're losing, that's tough. You're not Andy Reid.
Mm.
Hell, you're not Sean Payton. You're not Jim Harbaugh. Like that's tough. And then the fine that he got yesterday, the interaction with DeMarcado, like. You're the head coach of this football team, man.
He might not make it through the year. Like,
I'd be surprised if that happened.
I'd be surprised if he got fired
during the season.
I didn't realize he'd been there as long as he's been there.
How long has it been?
This is his third season.
So it's funny that we think that's long.
If you have that moment that you had on Sunday, and you lose like three, you already lost three in a row, but you lose four of the next five. Yeah, you might not make it.
Let's get this one in because you actually teased it yesterday. Overreaction. The Chiefs will not make the playoffs.
Not an overreaction.
It's an overreaction. I still think they're getting in.
It's close.
They're getting in. Jake Gaden, he's got some news for us, and he's going to join us next here on Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320.
You're listening to D'Lo and KC. D'Lo and KC on ESPN 1320.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
To you by Sky River Casino.
All right, man, we are back here. We got Kings basketball tonight. We're certainly going to talk about that with our man Jake Gayton, CBS 13. He's here with us every single Wednesday right around this time at 1:45. We got much more basketball talk ahead. We got power rankings ahead. And James Hamm will return here as we get ready for the Sacramento Kings and the Toronto Raptors tonight at the Golden One Center. Jake, we want to talk about that with you, but I think you got a little news for us that we're going to break here on the show.
Yeah, let's rock with it. Okay, so I'm not sure if everyone heard about this earlier last week. Dr. Luke Wood, Sacramento State president, went on a Montana Grizz podcast. Mm-hmm. Don't really know the affiliation they have with Montana football, but you went on a podcast with them.
Locked on Montana, I believe it was called.
Locked on Grizz. Yeah.
Locked on Grizz.
Well, yes.
Sorry, Jake.
All right. And basically said that he would that it's it's guaranteed basically that Sac State is going to be in a FBS conference next year or is very close to it. Well, he said it, and I made some calls. And according to multiple sources, there is no conference currently right now looking to add Sacramento State. And when I say no conference, I mean no Power Four conference, no Mountain West, Pac-12, Conference USA. I called and made calls on basically every conference you can think of around the country. And no one's looking to add Sacramento State. Now, all these conferences and the sources that I talk with around the NCAA said that, you know, none of these conferences are saying no, like we're not looking to add anybody. They're always going to be opportunistic. When it comes to Sacramento State and having something by the end of the season, November, December, that doesn't look like that's going to be the case with any conference affiliation right now. So I think you're more and more leaning towards Sac State going to an FBS independent next year and playing an FCS schedule. But if you think that they're going to be joining a conference by the end of the year and Luke Wood's telling us that, like, I have a hard time believing it right now. Dr. Wood, I know he's a friend of the program. He's part of the homie circle, and I love what he's doing for the Hornets over there and trying to grow the school. I just think some of this is him trying to speak it into existence and doesn't know exactly what is going on the upper levels of this, because everyone's calling me and everyone who's telling me all this stuff makes it seem like I have no idea what I'm talking about.
Hmm. So when they got denied the waiver in the FBS, didn't they hire like a law firm after that to try and an antitrust law firm? Has there been any news on that? And try to get in the FBS that way, saying that they're, you know, unjustly being denied the waiver. Has there been any type of movement on that?
Like you said, that they did hire a law firm that is confirmed, and that they were looking at that avenue. I think they just don't want to take that avenue because I think that costs a lot of money that I don't think they have currently right now. So with that, I think that avenue is a possibility, but I don't think that is an avenue they want to go down. I think they'd rather go as an independent and move that way. But I think the feedback that they got, plainly put, is that they need to be part of a conference invited to join a conference for them to move to the FBS ranks. Just doesn't sound like that's happening anytime soon. So maybe they take that avenue now, KC, and they start looking at that because, you know, Dr. Luke Wood is adamant, and same with Brennan Marion. Adamant that they're moving to the FBS. Like, mm-hmm. It is going to happen next year. And maybe I'm not fully part of that picture and not getting, you know, privy to all the conversations, but from everything I've been able to gather, I have not been able to see that actually happening and coming to fruition. Hmm.
Well, it's going to be a busy year because they're building a $171 million facility at Cal Expo. And that's going to happen before next season.
It's October 8th.
Like, I like Dr. Wood in our whole crew there. I am fascinated how all of this is going to take place. Not saying it's not. I'm just fascinated how it's going to happen.
Right.
I got that Cal Expo alert. I think it was over the weekend. It was like, okay, what they say it was like $400 million, $500 million, something for the stadium. Yeah, but at Cal Expo, it's only going to be $171 million. Hmm. Cool. Is that Kenny's money? Where is this money? Like, okay, so you got $171 million to the Cal. I get the footprint is there, but we're talking about a football stadium.
Right.
Okay.
And it's grant money. Apparently, it's going to come state-funded money. And, like, my question is this. Like, they're saying, quote-unquote, we're saving money with this. Okay, that's great. We're saving money. But wasn't the first thing you said when you wanted to do this is what you wanted to build a state-of-the-art facility to attract people? Mm. That costs money. Wouldn't you want to put as much money as you possibly can into this thing? This is not shouldn't be a cost cutting measure. This should be something that is you're strategically doing this in the correct ways. And I think it's rushed. I think Dame, you put it perfectly. I think it's rushed, and there's no reason to rush this because at the end of the day, every reason you're doing this makes sense. It's validated. It's good. It's supported. But you got to do it at the right pace. You can't force things to happen. You can't rush things to happen. It has to be checks and balances. It has to happen in a certain progression for this to happen. And I just don't know if they understand that over at Sac State.
Yeah, I feel the same way, man. I love the ambition. I love the vision of everything Dr. Luke Wood and AD Mark Orr have for Sac State. I would just say, like, it doesn't all have to happen tomorrow. Like, it doesn't have to. You just want it to be right. Like, that's it. You just want it to be right, sustainable, and something that's going to last and you can grow with. And if that means you go to Cal Expo in 3 years because you want to build, like, not modular seating, but, like, a real stadium over there, that's fine. Do it and have it there in 3 years. Like, it's okay. It doesn't have to happen in 2026. Like, it really doesn't. So that would be my thing, just like you said, Jake, is it doesn't have to be a rush. We just want to get this right. I think Cal Expo, obviously you want something on campus, but I think Cal Expo is a great idea. I think for a lot of different reasons, whether you talk about space, whether you talk about being able to actually get the money, it's probably easier going through Cal Expo than it is trying to get it privately funded. Like, it all makes sense in that respect. Cool. Just make sure you're handling it the right way. And you're getting it taken care of where you don't have to go back and add another $150 million in 10 years because now you want to build something differently. Like, just take your time. It's okay.
Are we building, like, the Republican Sac State can never play on the same day, right?
No, and that.
Where are we going to park?
That was explored. I think that.
Well, they'll be gone from Cal Expo.
Not next year.
No. Yeah, I don't know how next year.
You're going to have to, okay, you guys get this Saturday, and this Saturday. We get this one, and this one.
Well.
Otherwise, you're going to have to park at Macy's and walk over.
Can I be real with you? That field at Cal Expo, Heart Health Park, I don't know if you guys weren't out. Casey, you were out there on Saturday.
Dame was there, too. He was right there.
You were there?
I was.
Dame didn't put it on social media then.
No, I was there, and I think you were there, right? Because I'm pretty sure Katie said, "Hey, there's Jake," but you were walking up the, stairs.
I see how it is. You don't say what's good to your homeboy. Okay.
Well, I don't like. Hey, Jake. It's me, Jake. Oh, and then what if you didn't hear me? How ridiculous do I look?
The East Coast thing to do. No, I just don't think that field could take any more than it already has. It's not in great shape. It's just not great shape. You play football on there and play soccer on there. Good luck.
No. All right. Moving on. The Golden One Center is a beautiful facility, and it is fully equipped to play professional basketball, and that begins tonight, even in preseason form. How do you feel? You've been around this team for a week and a half now through media day and training camp. How you feeling about tonight's game against the Raptors?
I'm just excited and kind of intrigued. I think there's two things I'm looking at. First, Dennis Schroeder, he has been raved about. I mean, raved about in the first week and a half. And just the presence he brings to the offense, the command, the leadership, the accountability. I'm excited to see what a true point guard looks like with this team. And when I say with this team, I mean not with prior to when De'Aaron was here. I mean with Debo, with Zach, with the new form Kings that was the second half of last year where you didn't have a point guard. I am intrigued to see what it looks like with a true point guard and see how it looks coming all together. Because everything they've said is like, man, this is the piece that we were missing, the professional that we were missing. He's the floor general, the quarterback, whatever you want to call it, that is going to be a key to how this offense runs. And honestly, the head of the snake when it comes to the defensive side of the ball and picking up 94 feet. The other thing I'm looking at is how advanced is Maxime Reynaud when it comes to the backup center. I am extremely impressed by his skill set. I am intrigued to see how much he can deal with the physicality of the NBA. Because if he has everything that I think he does and can withstand the physicality, like, I think he is the backup center, not only of the future, but of this year. Like, I think Drew Eubanks is great, don't get me wrong. But those are the two things I am looking at, to see if Reynaud can stay and physically play with the big boys of the NBA or if he's going to be punked around. Because if not, he has every skill set on the offensive end to be filthy and just be a plug-and-play player for when Domas is out. Has the better shot. His passing ability is there. He can rebound. And his finesse around the basket has been on display for us for the past couple of days. So I am very intrigued on those two fronts heading into the night. But curiosity, that's the key for everything. I'm just very curious of how it all comes together.
And look, I know it's important. I get it. I remember the discussions we had about Mason Plumlee.
Okay.
Right?
Lord and Savior.
Yes. Yeah. And I saw what JV did when he came to the Kings last year, a.k.a. the Nasty Boy.
Wasn't going to say that.
The old Nasty Boy, because we got a new Nasty Boy with Dennis Schroeder.
Please stop.
But I like that backup center that they get. That's valuable. I still say, why not give Maxine the opportunity?
Mm-hmm.
Why not? Like, it's not the biggest thing in the world if for his 4 minutes he's not up to par right away. Like, why not? See what you got. Let him
He's
get
gonna be
adjusted
better than Alex Len. He will be better than Alex Len. I'm sorry, Alex.
Yeah, why not? And there are concerns that I have about his game. We talk about it, Dame, where it's physicality. Can he stand up to the physicality of the league? I want to see him rebound better for being 7'2". So there are questions that I absolutely have when it comes to him, but man, why not? Like, yeah, give him those opportunities at backup center and see if he can get adjusted by actually playing in the games.
Max agrees. Neek, he does agree. Yeah. He absolutely does agree. What's the biggest, if there is one, what's the biggest change you've seen so far in training camp from not necessarily last year during the chaotic stretch of Doug Christie's tenure with the De'Aaron Fox trade and all of that, but specifically maybe just in covering the team at the end of last year and the way this group has been for the last, 10 days or so, 11 days?
Twofold again. One, I think they found their joy of basketball again. Like,
hearing Keegan Murray say that the other day was hysterical when he was talking about having joy playing basketball. I don't know if Jimmy Butler was the one who made that a thing last year, but hearing Keegan say it in that deadpan voice with that deadpan look was absolutely hilarious.
But it's the truth, though. There's joy there. They're having fun, and I think they are bought into what Doug Christie is preaching. And basketball, as DC puts it, is supposed to be fun. It's a kid's game, it's a child's game, and that they're doing it on the professional level at the highest stakes. So you can see that with the way they play, the way they interact. The other fold that I'm intrigued by is the fact that Scott Perry is there every single practice. And after every single practice, they break the huddle. The guys do their free throws. Doug Christie, directly to Scott Perry, hey, what's your feedback? What's your notes? What you got for me? They have a 10 to 15 minute discussion. They laugh. They make fun of players. They joke with players. And but it's hey, this is what I see. This is what I'm seeing. This is what I like. This is what I don't like. Very, very good relationship. And I think that's something you did not see at all last year. The amount of times I saw Monty McNair at a practice where I can count on one hand. You saw Wes Wilcox more than you saw Monty on a consistent basis. That's why, you know, seeing Scott, seeing BJ there, like, refreshing. You can tell that from top to bottom, from GM to towel boy, everyone's on the same page. Everyone's pulling in the same direction. No alter egos, no other agendas other than the six pillars that Scott Perry has for this team and that everyone's buying into.
So we've talked about it a number of different times on the show, but I want to get your thoughts, Jake. How much stock do you put in something like that? Obviously, that cohesion and that positive energy and the positive vibes that are going through training camp isn't going to necessarily or literally win you games. But it does. I think it does matter. And especially after what everybody talked about last year was to be able to have a training camp and have a group of guys and have the level of cohesion that they seem to have right now has to just make it better to come to work and try to work on your craft. How much of an impact do you think that could have on this Kings team?
And I think it's going to have a massive impact because I think it has a massive impact on a regular mill individual that shows up to their job every single day. Imagine if you guys were beefing it with your boss and Jesse was pulling in a different direction than you and James didn't want to show up to do only one segment instead of four. Like, you know,
damn.
Not saying any of that's James true, but, right, you know. But I'm just saying, I think it can correlate to any other person's job. Like if you're not in a setting that makes you thrive and want to be there, you are not going to thrive and it's going to be hard to show up to work every single day. I think the same could be said at the professional NBA level. Like if these guys don't want to show up and do the extra work and get in the extra shots and go over film and lift weights, like there's going to be a certain level of professionalism to everything, but it's going the extra mile. And I think that's what makes good teams great, right? Mm-hmm. That's what makes good jobs or organizations great to work for. Being able to have a healthy, cohesive, you know, not lifestyle, but like
just work life.
No one wants to come to work when you don't like the people around you, be it your bosses, your coworkers, whatever. Like it's a miserable experience. Are you as just a quick temperature check, Jake, before we let you go? Are like I know you know you're a broadcast journalist, you're a news guy, you deliver the news, but like are you in or out on this team? Like it feels like people are either positive, optimistic, like maybe to a fault, but also to a level like 44 wins optimistic. I feel like I'm pretty optimistic in that range. And then there are people who are like, well, 35 wins, this team stinks, there's no future. Like, where do you fall on that spectrum?
Cautiously pessimistic.
Cautiously pessimistic.
Do you not...
Walk me through the meaning of that again.
Are you nervous about thinking they're going to stink?
I would say I am setting myself up for failure, thinking that they're not going to do well. But if they do well, it'll be very surprising to me. So, like, I would say that I don't have high expectations for the team because I see what they have and how hard the Western Conference is. And if they do well, I am going to be very excited and happy for them. But if they don't do well, I'm not going to sit here and say, dang, they really missed out on this. What an opportunity they missed. I think I'm saving myself thinking that this year is going to be a year where if they do get under 40 wins, I'm not going to be surprised. And if they get over 40 wins, Well, hot damn. I love being told I'm wrong.
Hot damn. Phrases.
How many more white phrases can I come up
with? No, that's a good one. I was going to say, hot damn. That's a phrase you don't hear on this show very often, but there we go. We appreciate you, Jake. Thank you, my brother. We are...
Hey, go Yankees, by the way. Okay. Hey, can you guys say the pitcher's name for this evening?
No, I'm not. I just... I had... No, I'm not going to say it.
Dame?
Come on. I don't know who the pitcher is tonight.
It's close, man. It's close. It could get... Jake. You say it.
No, why would I say it?
Well, because it's your team.
Jake, you're a newsman. You need to deliver the news to us. What is the pitcher's name tonight?
Cam Schlittler.
That's close.
Yeah, that's close.
It's close. One slip.
He's going to throw gas tonight. Seven innings, no hit ball. Get ready for game 5 in Toronto on Friday, baby.
More or less 9.5 strikeouts from him tonight.
9.5.
He had 12 in his last outing against the Red Sox.
I would say less. I think the line is at 8 right now, and I was going to go 8.5, 9. So if it goes 8.5, I would pick the over. I think it's closer to 8 and 9 tonight. It's a good line though.
I'm hoping to see a game 5. That's good drama right there. I need that.
And well, if the Dodgers sweep tonight,
the game that you called over is tied now.
Well, it is.
What's the Mariners score right now?
It's 3-3.
3-3.
Sixth inning.
Kenny had the game over like tonight, 10 minutes ago.
Kill me with the LA fans, okay? I'm done with the LA fans. They just think they're going to roll through the playoffs again, and they have a terrible bullpen.
You tell them, Jake.
Well, they are up. Okay, never mind. I don't want to start a conversation about the Dodgers again. It always goes poorly in this studio.
Speaking of the resident Dodger fan.
Yeah, baby, you know
Christ.
I'm gonna end the series
tonight,
basically.
Oh,
3-0 on the way.
And the call. Okay, and the call.
This is our man Brandon Benitez right there. Jake, we appreciate you. Brandon, we appreciate you, brother. We'll see you guys on Sunday.
And the call.
That is great stuff from our crew over there at CBS 13. Jake Gayden and Brandon Benitez.
Well,
Dodger fan and Yankee fan.
Tigers just took the lead.
Yes, they did. What sort of reverse voodoo are you doing on my Mariners with this?
My bad, man.
Oh, it's over.
When the guy decided not to run to second base, what'd you expect me to think?
Riley Green, his first home run. Jeez. His first postseason home run.
That was a bomb. 454 to right center field.
That God was so smart, as Kenny's book showed us earlier. If I would have been a baseball player, you brought this up. I would have Bryce Harpered every home run. I would have ran so fast around the bases.
Get to the Brodies.
Every time. Every single time.
Or you could have been like, Joe, who was my man, Encarnacion, who had the parrot on his arm as he ran across the around the bases?
There's a lot of weird different things guys do as they're after they hit a home run.
Joe, you may be too young to know about this, but Jeffrey Leonard with the flap down. Did you know about that?
No, I didn't know about that.
Yeah, he ran around the base with, I think it was his, it don't matter which arm, but one arm was just didn't move.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. That's pretty cool.
And it pissed off the Cardinals.
That's pretty cool. I remember.
Absolutely pissed them off.
To this day, I'm still scarred by that Prince Fielder home run against the Giants where he jumped on the plate and everyone fell down.
Yeah, that was pretty random, Joe. That was like in August of 2007.
That was a bad, dude. I still think about that.
It was like August 11th.
Dog days of summer home run really gets to Joe. He just can't.
I still think about that.
Just can't get
I
over
remember
it
too, though. I do remember it. Walk off from Prince.
Joe Park. Wakes up from a bad dream. He jumped. Oh.
The Giants fell to. They fell to 64-67.
Oh my God! Goodness gracious! You said 9.5. Is that the real number?
It is not the real number on Prize Picks for Cam. I'm just going to say Cam because I don't want to mess this up. Strikeouts tonight against the Blue Jays is 5. I'm taking the more on that one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I might just mess around and have a Yankees-Blue Jays lineup
okay
for this game to be going down tonight, this game 4. I also probably want to get maybe a separate lineup for game three of the WNBA finals. You know what I mean? I want to have a lineup for that. So if you're trying to have a lineup, go down to Prize Picks and handle your business there. Download the app. Put in the promo code KIFM. You get $50 towards your first $5 lineup. That's promo code KIFM to get $50 towards your first $5 lineup. You must be present in certain states. Go to prizepicks.com for more details. Prize Picks, it's good to be right. Russ Dog. Russ Dog. I think Russ Dog has some has a good little. Oh, yeah. Russ Dog is. He's pulling up on securing the Bagley. He's now at eight on the season. We're almost at the All-Star break.
Oh, God. I was about to ask when this god-awful season is over.
No, All-Star break is the week before NBA starts.
Okay, that's next week.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So so we don't have to do this next week.
No, we do.
No, we do Prize Picks. We don't have to do this ridiculous.
No, we do. Yeah, that'll be the All-Star. That'll be like the dunk contest.
Yeah, yeah, the All-Star game MVP, right? Like, there's still rewards to be given out.
Exactly. Don't choose the wrong side of this, Joe.
And now the Tigers just can't stop hitting. Double.
Man. There's no outs in this inning.
Oh, man.
Oh, goodness gracious.
Well, all right. You know. Game five, get ready.
Oh, there was the guy who ran back to first base. He's celebrating now. Right. Goodness gracious. We'll come back. We've got Kings basketball to talk about. I have a few more. This Giannis thing, it's over. Mm. I don't know how it got worse from the time our show ended to this morning, but it did. Mm. And it continues to get worse, but we'll dive into that. We also got power rankings coming up. There's going to be some controversy in power rankings. And James Hamm will join us, and we'll get ready for Kings Raptors tonight at the Golden 1 Center.
Yeah.
D'Lo and KC on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.
D'Lo and KC on the home for Sacramento Sports Talk, ESPN 1320.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.